Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 30, episode 2 of Data Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For May 8th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Prejudice! Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it go.
Free your miles, and the gray will follow.
Boom, boom, boom.
Be colorblind! Don't be so shallow.
Sorry, should have gave you an earbud warning, but that AKA was En Vogue, one of my favorite groups. Shout out to Nicole Penny on Twitter, at Aunt Triffy, for that AKA. So, thank you to you.
That opening, wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it goes.
Prejudice.
Is like one of the things that is always cycling in my head, like from growing up.
Oh, really?
Just, yeah.
Wrote a song about it? Like,
yeah, just that weird opening. That's funny. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. By fifth, sixth time guest.
This is only my third, I think.
14th time guest.
I know.
The great, the hilarious Danny Fernandez.
Who let the Dans out?
Who? 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 Who?
Who let the... Nice.
Thank you for
Baja
having
Man
me.
Reference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I was in here last night recording my podcast, Nerdificent.
Never heard of it.
That is also on this channel.
Iffy Hoodie Who?
It's also on this network, which you should check out after you listen to this.
After you listen
What's
to this
it about, Danny?
It is a deep dive into all things nerdy.
Deep we dive, like you have going to take a drink.
Deep dive.
Yeah.
We cover the past, present, and future of different fandoms and subcultures and tech and nerddom.
Like conventions?
Yeah, say? Like conventions. Our cosplay episode actually was featured in AV Club. Got
yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The
because
one that dropped
podcast.
Today is on Twitch. So if you've ever wondered about Twitch or are interested in what that world is, how to get partnered, Iffy and I are very familiar with Twitch.
I've heard about this Twitch.
This Twitch.
Yeah. Is that like on
Whether
the Instagram with the influencers?
No, you know, if you have, when you combine Adderall and Red Bull at the same time.
Oh, shit.
That
yeah,
type
yeah.
of Twitch.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so that was our episode today.
Yeah. Whether you're
That's
an old
called,
person
yeah.
who calls Twitch Switch like I did last week, or if you are a young person, it's interesting. It's like It will bring you in if you don't know about it, and it'll also entertain you if you do already know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great show. Danny, what is something from your search history?
My search history.
Who you are.
Donald Glover girlfriend. Yep. Do you remember the last time I was here? It was like Marvel Netflix girlfriend. Uh-huh. Like
they're
all married.
Mr. Luke Cage last time.
Yeah, well, Luke Cage and Johnny B. John Bernthal, yep. who is married with three kids. I keep track of all celebrities. Stat. But yeah, I didn't know that
Is it like a website where shouldn't there just be a website that has like
probably.
A face?
Absolutely.
And if they're available, there's a green circle. And if not, just a red X. Just be like,
my stock puppet account.
Yeah, like the stock market or something.
You know, I saw him actually, I wasn't the only one. It was like kind of trending-ish because him and his girlfriend were seen with his child. I don't know. He was a dad.
Oh.
He has two kids. So he's a new baby that was born, I think, in January. And then he has, I know too much about this man's life. This is sad. I am wearing this Lando shirt. You see
I know,
this?
Yeah. The old Batman logo.
Did
you even, why do you have merch for a film that's not out
you
yet?
Know what?
And it's already been mashed up with another franchise.
I know.
It's the old Adam West Batman logo,
it's
but
like
with
third wave Lando gear that she's rocking.
She's like, oh, you don't have this?
It's
I'm like,
vintage.
The movie ain't
it already
even
has
out.
Holes. Yeah, this is my vintage Lando.
That's how you're about this life,
Donald,
though.
I am. So yeah, that was, I didn't know he was a dad. And I think that's really cool.
The reason I kind of suspected was because the last album, it was like Me and Your Mama and stuff. And I knew that was legit.
Yeah.
Like that was born out of him becoming a father. But I didn't know he had a second child. Congratulations. Hmm. See, and he won't know because he's not messy trying to be on the tabloids.
We just sped past what is $1 billion idea of like a StockX or a stock ticker that is just about
celebrities available
like,
or not.
Available. And like also you have like if you pay for the account, you can find out if they are
alerts.
Like, yeah, if they fuck around.
Oh,
or like,
oh.
You know, like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, some like next level like
right,
blind
Jack.
Item
okay,
shit.
Okay,
you know?
Daddy,
Jack.
You want to make a mess in here like
I'm
that?
Just saying, it could be.
What do you mean other
shit?
So you're saying we would ask people to stalk these people and so be like, oh, I think he's fucking up. Right now,
you can in an open relationship.
Just monitor all the like Bumble and shit like that, or the celebrity.
This sounds like something
equivalent.
Maybe you should holler at Black Cube.
Yeah,
this is going to be so relevant for my next thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it then. What do you think is overrated?
Raya. Raya is a dating app for famous people.
Yeah. So explain further, because I know like in LA, a lot of people know about Raya.
Yeah. So it's essentially like you have to be, you know, a person of note or a public figure. They like look at your Instagram. You have to like be have someone vouch for you essentially.
Who's on the app, right?
I think so.
Like, yeah.
It's like the Soho House of dating apps,
but
where
now,
like, you have to get accepted.
Yeah, and it feels gross. But anyways, I'm in it.
Okay.
Nice.
And once I got it, you know, you cannot screenshot. So I was trying to screenshot my bio to show people that I was on it.
Right, yeah.
And it was immediately like, this is your warning. Like, we know that you're new. It was like the second I took the screenshot.
Damn.
Because there are famous people on there, so they don't want you. I ran into several.
They never heard of this? Taking two phones? Taking a picture with the other phone?
I know, seriously. Seriously.
When people were fucking like, when Snapchat came out, they're like, you know,
but
you can't
do
that.
But it's not, I mean, aside from the people, aside from the like famous people, yeah, that are on it and stuff that I've run across, I do have six matches now, so.
Nice. Anybody like you had heard of prior to getting on Raya?
The guys that I matched with, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe. But they're all like in the industry or whatever.
Right,
but it's kind of, y'all, you're not missing out. I mean, it's
how
the
are you
same.
Assuming
no
that we're
way.
Not on Raya?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I mean like the general public.
Yeah.
And,
no,
and also, it's so weird how they decide, because some of my friends who have way more followers than me like haven't gotten in, so mm-hmm. it's weird how they decide who gets in and who
it is weird.
Twitter
it's
blue
gross.
Check.
Hashtag humble brag. But that's fine.
It's
but
so weird.
It makes sense though, like as a thing, I remember when someone first described it, I'm like, that almost seems like, at
like
first
a,
it seems cool, like I get if you're like really famous, maybe you just want people that kind of understand culturally, not that there's a culture of being an elite, aloof person who doesn't like to interact with the poor, but you know, like you may have more common ground, but I feel like once you get in there, there's probably also like equally just shitheaded, egomaniacal people who are like, I'm on Raya, and I will just conduct my life in
it
a certain
feels
way.
So, it still feels weird for me to like judge someone by their pictures and like say yes or no. I just I haven't really been on dating apps, so my...
Is this your first foray into dating apps?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But what I was going to say, I meet people on Twitter. That's so sad. But you get to like see, wow. I meet other writers and stuff. So yeah. I've dated other writers that like I've followed them for a year or two. I can see that they're, you know, slightly normal and or broken inside like I am and funny. And so and respected in the community. And so that's kind of the how I've met people.
Right.
I found love.
So
in
shout
a,
out to anybody who's listening
place.
Right now. Shoot your shot. You never
right.
know.
Exactly,
but also
exactly.
you need a, look, you might need a minimum follower count.
No, it's not that. It's more just like people who understand my
for sure.
my life
and
also hustling and maybe don't want kids and settling down and like I just have a different lifestyle. And like but my ex and I who were together for 3 years, I feel like we made it 3 years because we were both so focused on our careers
right.
as opposed to
each
I don't
other.
Know. Yeah.
Right, right. By the way, that thing that I just invented, the website for that tells you like about men, I think I just reinvented the shitty men list that those women had made.
Well,
about,
I mean, we're not talking about like that. It's just merely just to let people know if their fantasies are feasible. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, they're single, so I can continue to pretend. And it can be, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
Right,
everybody.
Right. All right.
Okay.
What is something you think is underrated?
I don't know if I've talked about this yet, but have y'all watched Schitt's Creek?
It's
so good.
Is it really?
Yes. Listen, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. So I originally got into it like I was super sick, came down with the flu, and they were promoting it on Netflix. I'm like, I'm not gonna watch this show. Stop. Like I saw billboards of it everywhere. It was just like totally in my face. It's on Pop TV, so that's where it airs every week. Oh, see that's another thing. It's like a network. It's not.
It's a
channel. Yeah, it's a channel. Pop TV is a channel.
See. I'm such a cord cutter. I'm like, there's a new channel.
But right? So a lot of people haven't heard of Schitt's Creek.
I've heard of Schitt's Creek.
Right,
and I think, oh, you know what? I probably did because I'm like, what the fuck is Pop TV when I looked at the marketing?
Yeah, and I was the same way. Miles, it is so good. I've watched every season now 2 or 3 times. The writing, yes, it's hilarious. It's like this perfect escapism if you need like just quick comedic writing. The family is hilarious. I love it so much. Check it out. I think it's so underrated. And don't be like me and wait a year to watch it. It's
and
amazing.
If I don't have Pop TV, what do I
can watch it on Netflix.
Okay.
So
got
the
you.
First
oh,
two
but it's broadcast
season,
on
it's
Pop
yeah.
TV.
So they're already on season 3 or 4, I think, on Pop TV. But you can at least watch the first 2 or 3 on Netflix.
Got you.
It's amazing.
See, I need to show
Catherine O'Hara is the she's
well. I love
so
all those like old SCTV
good.
People.
Yes,
you know what I mean, like because
exactly.
they're like OGs of this comedy shit.
Yeah, Eugene Levy, people know from like
American Pie
as the dad, and then he had like a bunch of you know he got paid. He went out and made a bunch of movies. Some of them were not the best movies. That's probably why I was ignoring this. And it's also like created by him and
his
son.
His son,
so,
who looks just, I mean, they look,
exactly.
they have the same eyebrows.
Unbelievable.
I love it. Perfectly cast.
But yeah, when you think about it, I mean, Eugene Levy goes back to SCTV.
Yeah.
And, with
like,
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like a
John
old
Candy,
school
Rick
comedy
Moranis,
like genius. So,
it's so good.
Yeah. Like
oh,
you give
then,
him control over what he's doing and it's going to be dope.
Chris Elliott. Right?
Chris Elliott's involved?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, then that's that guy's the best.
Yeah. He plays the mayor.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, he's so great. Y'all
did you ever watch
it.
Eagle Heart? His show on, I think that's what it was called, on Adult Swim. It was made by Chris Elliott. Chris Elliott's an underrated comedy person, just in general.
I mean, Dom Wiganowski himself.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
From Something About
yeah,
Mary.
Yeah, from Something About Mary with all his hives.
Yeah.
Oh, God. On your fucking eyeballs.
Like,
on your fucking eyeball.
His pus hives.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Matt Dillon in that film. Also,
great performance.
Pat Healy, one of the great shithead characters ever written.
Really, really unbelievable. Danny, finally, what is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
Yeah, everyone thinks that Anastasia is a Disney film, and it is not, and it bothers the heck out of me. Anastasia is not a Disney princess nor a Disney film. It was done by Fox Animation Studios and was distributed by 20th Century Fox. So that's a question you'll probably get wrong in Trivia or Jeopardy someday. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, so don't play yourself in front of people when you say
exactly.
this.
I mean, I can't count how many times I've been embarrassed by
I know.
Saying this in front of you know, friends and loved ones. but it really, the Anastasia font, even, like, when you look at the poster, it is straight up, like, Disney movie font. Like,
oh, you can compare her, aside from the, yeah, her the whole princess, like, gown and, like, the music in it, but also just the way she looks. They made her look a lot like Ariel when they designed her. So, it's understandable.
Yeah, she does look a lot like Ariel.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, Disney movies are usually based on... They're like very cleaned up versions of super dark fairy tales.
Especially this
one. Well, this is based on a true story that is so fucking dark.
Yeah.
About.
They talk about her family getting killed?
Yeah, Tsar's family getting killed.
Oh, because she's the Tsarina, right?
She's the lost Tsarina who, in actuality, was not lost and was
like
just
a
taken
con
down
person,
to the.
Right?
Well, no, according to my history professors, they're pretty sure that she, not to ruin everyone's day, but that she also.
She was just murdered with everybody else.
Yeah, but it, like... Wasn't
there somebody who was trying to claim?
Then,
that's
so,
what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes,
that
was did happen.
There was a scammer, Tsarina,
but I don't
right?
know if she was a scammer. She, I think, but she had some issues and possibly thought that she might have been. And I think a lot of people told her. I think that's not only her fault. I think a lot of
like
people
gaslit
told
through
you
her life,
look like her. You could possibly be her. That's a whole, there's documentaries on the whole
I really
whole
identify
thing.
With, I felt the same way about Tiger Woods. People said, you look like him. You should play golf.
Right. Look, every
I tried
time,
it. I was terrible. I'm half black and Asian. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is going on, God?
Yeah, every time I walk into a casting room.
I'm sorry.
Room,
the Met Gala got me.
I am gaslit as Gina Rodriguez.
Ooh.
So
nah, girl, you in your own lane.
Thank you.
Leave Gina alone.
But anyways, yeah. So that's my myth. It is not a Disney movie.
It is a lot bigger of a movie than I thought. Its box office was $140 million. I didn't realize
it
was that big
so
of a hit.
It is so good,
and it's like huge with people who are a little younger than me.
Yeah.
You know,
con artists.
I always need to bring in some 90s Disney facts.
Yeah, for sure.
I had Goofy movie, and you know, I'm
the Goofy
I'm here
movie
for it.
Had the mentions lit for a good week.
Yeah.
As people even were discovering, like, oh my god, exactly.
Funny what's controversial? It's vaping and 90s Disney facts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's like what will get
you excited.
All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We're trying to take a sample of. The national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about.
Oh, global
right now.
Today. We got some global shit.
Yeah, we got
going
some globe.
Today.
We're going international. Yeah. So first up, just something we haven't mentioned, but Hawaii is erupting. Mm. And Jesus. That's not it looks fake. Mm. Like lava looks like it does in bad movies. In actuality, I guess. It's just like a lot slower.
It's wild. Yeah, this is what? Kilauea on the Big Island. It's crazy. When I was like in ninth grade or something, I went down there on the Big Island and saw like where the last flow had come. And it's crazy like where you just sort of have to build around it.
Yeah.
Like the road just ends where the flow sort of ceased to move anymore.
Yeah.
And when you look at this shit now, man, the videos are so crazy because it's just so slow moving. But mm-hmm. the heat is like just melting cars and trees and gates and...
You know what it looks like? To bring it back to the 90s, it looks like the toxic creature in Ferngully.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does kind of look like the toxic creature. Yeah.
Okay. But like
so
spreads.
We might have to talk.
Yeah. This is why y'all brought me in.
Exactly.
I'm just going
to
keep.
And also,
with Home Alone.
In Home Alone terms, it's like the part where he opens the door and the flamethrower lights the setup.
Yeah, if we could talk about Dunstan Checks In.
Oh,
as,
love that one. But Baby's Day Off.
You know how Hawaii like looks like someone skeeted on the Pacific Ocean? Like it's like kind
like
of
a blood
like
splatter.
Like a blood splatter. That's because like it's moving west to east. It's like a volcano that was moving west to east. And so it's like the very eastern tip of Hawaii is still erupting. But all the older. So it's interesting because the further west you go, the older the islands are, the more like lush vegetation there is and stuff
like that.
Right.
Hey, but the coffee, the Kona coffee though, comes from the Big Island. So.
The other thing we're learning is that you can't just like hang out on a catwalk above a lava flow because you will die of toxic acid. It's not like that third Star Wars prequel where they're just like hanging out, like having sword fights above
damn.
The... Yeah, that shit, like you will be inhaling toxic gas, unfortunately.
Did you know that NASA's been having people live in a dome on a volcano?
Yeah.
For
Mars training?
Uh-huh, yeah, for Mars training. They live in it for a year. Five or six of them have to live for 365 days in a dome and act like they're on Mars.
I mean, I was familiar with this with the film Biodome that came out. But do you remember that movie?
No.
What? With
was
Pauly
it in
Short?
The 90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And Stephen Baldwin, I think? Right. Or is it Billy or Stephen? Anyway.
Let's make it a goal. We're going to relate every single story back to a 90s movie.
Today's challenge, right. Yes.
So up next, we
flex
have the Met Gala. A tweet from my good friend, Bag It Cracked, Jason Pargin, writes on Cracked as David Wong, said, I had never heard of the Met Gala until an hour ago, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. Is this the Hunger Games? And it did seem like it kind of broke through last night. I don't know, maybe just because Twitter is now a bigger thing or a bigger part of our lives, or for some reason, everybody was talking about it. And the theme was heavenly bodies and the Catholic imagination, which, you know, was a very, usually they go with some avant-garde shit like the future or robots or, you know, shit like that. And this time they went with the Catholic Church, which was interesting. So shout out to the Catholic Church. I didn't think they would be one of the big winners of the
Trinity.
Met Gala, but the Catholic Church in there. Rihanna won as usual by rocking, making a Pope hat look better than it's ever looked.
El Padre.
El Padrino. Yeah, the Pope hat, man.
Pope hat, I mean, we knew that was going to be overused. I mean, that's like the low-hanging fruit.
I've been wanting to wear one for a while. One of my favorite sketches we had back at Cracked was like how the Pope hat was originally invented. And it's just like at some point somebody was made Pope and they were like, all right, so my hat needs to be bigger than everybody else's hat. Like,
y'all wear little hats.
I need to look giant.
And then when I'm chilling, I'm gonna rock the brimless one.
Have y'all seen that meme of like the British Royal Guard where he's getting his hair cut and it's like the hat, but like his head goes all the way up?
Oh, like he takes
And like the whole thing
it's
his
covering
head.
His head. They actually did it just to help one soldier feel less self-conscious about his skull.
Dude, J-Lo was fine as
Oh, my God.
She's reverse aging.
J-Lo looked like, so everybody, there were...
Hold on. First of all, Nick Stump, super producer, is forcing 90s references on his whiteboard to me through the window and goes, my hat is like a shark's fin, like a deep blue reference, deep blue sea reference.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was like looking at him like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How cool is
Rihanna, my hat is like a shark's fin.
But that's like the song, that's like a soundtrack reference to a film.
Yo, man. That's a great tie back, Nick. Shout
all right,
out to you.
You got points on the board, my man.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but going back to you.
Pulling up from 40. So everybody, you know, had, there were all these like beautiful, intricate dresses. And J-Lo came in looking like she was the sexy Halloween costume version of the other dresses.
Oh.
Like she just like, man, she looked good. Like, but it was just.
Yeah, the sequins remind me of her Selena 1997.
Oh, okay.
Selena days.
You know what's
like a big cross on her torso.
But that cross, the shape of it is like what kind of like old ladies wear, like the embellished, that embellished cross is the kind of cross you see on the pocket of jeans of people who are like, can I speak with your manager? Those are, can I speak with your manager crosses. But yeah, she, my goodness.
God damn.
J-Lo, shout out to you. Clearly money helps people stay relaxed. And just not age because you don't have a care in the fucking world.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man.
Because,
I mean,
Latin jeans are,
you know,
good.
There
come
are some
on.
Rich people who don't look that good. Like,
yeah, but I think
the
those people are evil.
Side,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
they
just do
got
bad
evil
shit.
Eating them from the inside.
I've heard of drinking water.
Right, right.
Amal Clooney showed up in pants, which you would think would not be like a glamorous move, but she just made it look glamorous.
She had
as fuck.
A train, though.
Yeah, exactly. It was like pants with like a glamorous perfect. Big train behind her. It looked really good. Blake Lively, I don't know. She had like sort of a goth stained glass window, Spanish Crown vibe, which I'm never a big fan of Blake Lively. As you guys know, I think Ryan could do better.
Yes, honey, tell them. tell the children.
And as Danny pointed out, she is a man stealer. She
oh,
will take
no,
a man.
You're calling me
God
out.
God damn.
These
are
private.
You are getting messy
these
today, Jack.
These were private conversations.
Okay.
First, you're like, we need a website where men get called out. Also,
oh,
Danny,
man.
What'd you say about Blake Lively? Is she a man thief? Anyway,
you're
I don't
gonna
like.
Me, you're going to get me kicked off Riot. No, I do want to say that he is probably just as guilty. And if he were here in the room, he would say they probably fell in love
after
Scarlett and him had ended.
Look.
So.
this is a podcast where we speculate wildly with our weird takes. So
stop trying
no
to get
need
me blacklisted, Jack.
Okay, yeah, yeah. My apologies. So
yeah, Danny might not be in a movie with good acting in it.
Right. Just so everybody knows, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds apparently both on Raya, according to Danny, because she said this was
just leaked
band,
that. Shout out to Raya.
But yeah, she showed up looking like she just approved a voyage to the New World for Christopher Columbus. It was like very like Spanish vibe. She looked great.
I think you're talking about Queen Isabel.
Sure. But she wow. looked like she is like on top of everybody's list of best dressed.
I'm sorry, Isabella.
SZA looked good. Frances McDormand, which ballsy invite for the Met Gala, because Frances McDormand like usually shows up looking, you know, like she in her sweats, like just like fucking around, and she showed up in like a crazy outfit, like dressed up like a tree, but like she pulled it off. She made it look good.
Mm-hmm.
Chadwick Boseman.
Oh yes.
Like I have not seen a dude's outfit mm-hmm. like stop the show before at the Met Gala. And
you've been watching for years.
I am a gala watcher.
That's what
you guys
say. People don't know.
No, but
you're a gala head.
He showed up looking good. So
looking like a snack.
Looking like a snack.
Like a snack pack.
Migos
too.
Meal.
Migos looked pretty dope.
Migos look fucking lame.
Did they?
They just wore the same kind of shit they wear, which are just really tight dress shirts and pants, just with the patterns.
With, like, the
stuff.
Embroidery and
they're
the
not
patterns
taking real.
And shit.
The only risk they took was with the patterning. Like, it's not like you're going to see them in some, like, real. Anyway.
I guess my thinking is that this was almost made for Migos, like, this theme. It was just like.
This theme was made for Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she looked amazing.
Looking like Mother Earth. But also, this, honestly, I think for me watching it this year, because I used to work for Condé Nast, which is the publisher of Vogue. Last year, we were all watching The Office, and the last year was based off, the theme was Rei Kawakubo, who was the woman behind Comme des Garçons. And everyone was just kind of using her sort of avant-garde design just to do like really out there shit. It didn't feel like everyone was wearing something nice or whatever. It just felt like they just sort of took the theme and were like, okay, I'm just wearing something crazy, because that's how they took it. So I think with this theme, at least gave people an aesthetic to kind of try and inspire, where last time it seemed a little, but again, I'm not a fucking fashion editor, so take my takes with like 8 spoonfuls of salt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, some people took it in a direction that was, you know, not quite as classic as, you know, the people who pulled it off. Like Katy Perry showed up dressed like an angel, which was just, you know, it wasn't, it's not
a pigeon.
It's not a Halloween costume. Yeah, or a pigeon.
Well, she's, oh yeah, oh no, she was the host, or one of the featured guests last year.
Okay.
She was the chair last year.
So but,
so Amal Clooney, Rihanna, and Donatella Versace were the event day chairs for this year.
Got it. Madonna showed up, was just clearly wearing some shit she already had in her closet. Like, this was invented for
her,
Madonna.
Yeah. She's been dressing like a problematic Catholic
this
for years.
This was her birthday party.
Exactly.
She was like, y'all wearing rosaries now? Okay. Yeah.
And Elon Musk and Grimes made their debut as a couple, and I died a little bit inside. Dude is the wackest.
What do they talk about?
I don't know, man.
They probably don't talk.
Just future shit?
They see the fact that he's into her. I'm like, y'all wild.
I know, that's weird.
He's that. I love that. I know that everyone's like, don't do it, but I'm like, I think that's really.
Her synth lines like boom 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 boom. He's like, ooh, that's mathematically telling me something. Ooh, I like Grimes. Mm-hmm.
I love when like super professional men like have a freak side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if he's super professional. He's just super rich.
Okay, well there you go. But I mean, like, he's not in that world.
Yeah, yeah, no, for
so
sure.
So I love that,
because he's not a guy who go, ooh, Elon Musk, his swag.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and it's time for another update of Benghazi. So the New York State Attorney General, a gentleman by the name of Eric Schneiderman, who people reacting like he was a household name, but this was kind of like I guess I had definitely read news stories with his name in it. Maybe we'd even talked about a few on this podcast. But if you had said Eric Schneiderman to me yesterday, I would not have been able to place that name. But he is gone. He just stepped down from being the New York State Attorney General because of a New Yorker article by Benghazi superhero Ronan Farrow, who interviewed four women, exes of Schneiderman, who said that he was, you know, violent and just all sorts of problematic in their relationship, which is crazy because this dude was, you know, number one women's advocate in the cases that he was trying. He was going after Harvey Weinstein. And so, you know, it's not the most surprising thing in the world that a politician slash bureaucrat is
man in power.
Man in power is not who he projected himself to be in the public eye. But this is being turned into a win for the conservatives. Like Donald Trump Jr. is like, hey, Eric, it's not role play if only one of you is in on it, which is fine, I guess.
He's definitely not wrong.
But
I mean, him and his family need to realize that.
It's just right. Tone deaf as fuck.
But people in the comments are reacting like, hey, Junior, how's that divorce going and stuff? And it's just like perpetuating this thing where it's like Eric Schneiderman's on our side and Donald Trump's on your side. And it's just like, no, man, we all hate.
But that's what's happened because the Me Too movement by some people has been used as like a weapon. And it's like perpetuating this sort of like partisan world where, especially on the right, their whole thing is they're using this as a win in a political game rather than about just a fucking man being held accountable for his actions and like the women that he victimized or whatever. They completely ignore that to be able to be like, hey, Robert Mueller, what's going on with your best friend? We need to investigate Mueller now. This isn't why this is a story.
So that is something that I'm hearing is like people connecting them and being like their partners. What is the
like
connection
Mike Cernovich
between Mueller and
because he's
Schneiderman?
Because he's the Attorney General of New York. You know, when Mueller was talking to him about referring certain things, crimes he discovered, that meant that, you know, potentially
the Cohen raid.
Right. State charges could be brought up against the Trump organization, which cannot be pardoned. Only federal crimes can be.
Right.
So they were saying, oh, wow, this could make things very complicated in the event that they're trying to prosecute some like financial crimes they dig up. That won't be like, and they felt that Schneiderman was the person who was most likely to follow through on anything, even if Mueller were fired. So people, I think, especially if you are in the camp that is just holding on to Mueller as your savior to end this nightmare, again, check your nightmares. But anyway, yeah, the fact that they were working together created this connection that now people are just trying to conflate, like, oh, well then, you know, Mike Cernovich just tweeted something like, what did Mueller know about his partner, Eric Schneiderman? What was he covering up? Rapes? Pedophilia? It's time for Mueller to answer some questions.
Why would Mueller know anything? They're just working on a single
exactly,
case
but
together.
But that's why, again, this thing on the right has been used as just,
right.
It's just a,
right, right.
Oh, look, someone who came after Trump is bad, so therefore let's ignore what Trump has done. I don't know.
I feel like they're okay with outing men as long as it's on the other side.
Course, right.
Whereas I feel like we, at least speaking from myself and other liberal women, we just want to out everybody.
Right.
Who has hurt men and women. And I feel like we were saying that, yeah, the self-reflection needs to be on their own side as well.
Yeah.
And so whenever something like this happens, which again, it was outed by or helped to be outed by Ronan, yeah, they just seem to be okay with it as long as it's not happening in their own headquarters.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Your guys didn't catch him, by the way. It's not like Drudge pulled this out. It was a New Yorker article who you consider to be the enemy.
Right.
And I think the one, if we are going to take sides in this, the one difference between how these sorts of sex crims are dealt with is that when they are on the left, they are immediately dealt with.
Yeah.
Whereas when they are on the right, you elect them president.
Well, it's because we're like, we don't want you fucking this up. We're
right.
going to cut ties with you. Whereas on the other side, it's like, we're going to make excuses for you and keep you here.
Right. And the other thing, just the difference between Mueller and Eric Schneiderman is Eric Schneiderman is a Democrat. Robert Mueller is a lifelong conservative Republican.
Right.
I feel like people just don't remember that Mueller is a Republican. He's one of you guys. He's just up front on this and sees how fucked
he just respects something called the law.
Right, exactly. All right, we are going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier to talk to us about a story that is just developing as we're recording this. We're recording this on Tuesday, right around noon Pacific time. Donald Trump has just announced that the U.S. will be withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, which everybody expected because it was a signature achievement of the Obama administration and basically for reasons of racism and
ego,
you know, just ego and hatred. He hates everything that the Obama administration accomplished. But then,
and
you know, there are
it, yeah.
there are conservatives who think that this deal was bad. You
well,
know,
and
he's
also getting
one, but
getting really cool opinions from John Bolton and Mike Pompeo and the rest of the gang.
And Israel.
I mean, Netanyahu's TED Talk really must have got to him.
Right.
That was only in English.
And the first reaction to Trump's speech about leaving the deal was like, wait, did Benjamin Netanyahu write that? But sorry about that long rambling introduction. Anna, thank you for joining us.
We're all going to die.
Okay.
All right.
And that was super producer Anna Hosnier. So what can you tell us about? This is something that you dedicated an entire episode to on Ethnically Ambiguous, or a big chunk of an episode.
In the episode We Are the Bomb, which I regret that title.
It was recorded in 1995.
Yeah. We talk. I break down what the
He brought
Iran,
it back to the 90s.
Woo!
I broke down what the Iran nuclear deal was and what happens if we lose it, and it's not good. It's not necessarily good for America, and it's not good for Iran.
I think for most people, right, that who are arguing for it was like, it's preventing Iran from arming itself with a nuclear weapon, and given any of the sort of deficiencies or the shortcomings of it, that it works, and we've relieved sanctions prior to this moment, and it seemed like Iran, for the most part, was following through on the deal, despite the description that the president gave.
Yeah, Iran followed through everything. The IAEA, which is like the Atomic Energy Commission, I don't know, they are in charge of making sure no one's building nuclear weapons, has confirmed that they have followed through with all the requirements for the nuclear deal, even though Netanyahu tried to pull out some strange evidence, which they denied. They said that's not real. So they've been doing everything on their part. But since today, when Trump decided that the nuclear deal shouldn't exist because he doesn't have any facts and just wants to be a dick, apparently Rouhani has instructed Iran's atomic agency to prepare for industrial level enrichment of uranium.
So who is Rouhani?
Rouhani is the president of Iran, and one of the requirements for the nuclear deal was that Iran sees any enrichment of uranium, which is what people use to, not people, but what you can use to...
I mean, it's what we use here at the Daily Zeitgeist.
To make nuclear weapons.
To make nuclear weapons, yes.
So,
Oh, wait, so he just announced that they are just going
to
start up...
to prepare the industrial level enrichment of uranium, but he asked the agency to wait a few weeks to gauge how Europeans react to Trump. Because Europe still is all about the Iran deal.
Right.
Trump just doesn't get things, so he doesn't understand that this could end incredibly poorly. Also, he wants to impose aggressive economic sanctions, even though Iran is really struggling in their economy right now. Like, the rial has lost, the rial, which is their version of money, their dollar or whatever.
Like, their version of money.
Has lost a lot of weight against a dollar. So right now, a lot of Iranians are struggling, and they're very upset with the government, which is what led to the protests all of the end of last year. So it's going to be a very tough time for Iran, and I think this is incredibly fucked up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the criticisms of the Obama deal was that the promise had been that because America was withdrawing some of the sanctions, that Iran would be brought more into the international fold, and you know, it would be like, Iran's open for business, everybody, and they'd cut a ribbon and fucking Starbucks would pour in, and that didn't turn out to be the case.
Yes, and that's mostly because American banks and credit unions don't work with foreign countries like Iran, because for so long we've been told not to work with them, so it would take years for that to fully start to happen.
Right.
And it was beginning to.
It was slowly beginning to, like, Boeing signed like $1 billion deal to bring airplane parts, which actually the about 100,000 people were hired to work on these airplanes for Boeing to build all these parts for Iran and send them over there. So if that deal is lost, then all these people in America lose their jobs.
And all these diplomats and, you know, Iranian officials had, you know, worked hard to be like, no, trust us, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to be friends from now on. And so all those people are being burned. A lot of diplomats are being burned. Iran and the leadership in Iran is being burned because Hassan Rouhani was sort of, even though, you know, there was a lot of protests against him, he was very sort of middle of the road, correct?
Yes, he championed for this deal. So the fact that it's falling apart, it really gives, like, hardliners in Iran
He put his neck out for
leverage,
America, essentially.
Right, to be like, don't trust this Western world, which is bad because we don't want this regime to continue to oppress people in this country.
Well, right.
And a lot of the protests stem from the fact that Iran focuses so much of their energy on, like, outside wars, like with Syria and Yemen, and so little is looked into in the actual country. So
And that's kind of one of the reasons why Trump is like, it's a bad deal, because he expect the deal to just be like, well, we will sign this, and then you play nice everywhere. And then he sees shit going on everywhere else and go, this deal is rotten, without understanding what the whole purpose of this agreement. And, yeah, like you're saying, there are other countries that are still dedicated to this deal. They continue to say, we will honor everything. But, you know, it again, like you say, it fucks things up because our banks won't do business with Iran. And these secondary sanctions that Trump has put back in place makes it even harder for some of the European allies who were beginning to do business in Iran to continue that. So the knock-on effects are very significant.
Yeah. It really reminds me of back when America was desperate to go to a war with Iraq. And so it was just like they were pooling evidence from all these different places, and they were going in to make presentations being like, look, this photograph shows that they have weapons of mass
destruction. They got yellow cake.
And Saddam Hussein said this 20 years ago, and therefore it just seems the same here. It's like Netanyahu's presentation, his TED talk that he delivered for an audience of one, it was written exactly for Trump, and it was using stuff from before this nuclear deal. So he's just like pulling old shit from computers that they had like taken from computers.
The presentation essentially was they had a clandestine nuclear project prior to signing the deal.
Prior to this deal. And so they're using that. Trump is using, you know, the fact that business hasn't opened up as quickly as they had hoped, and that they were hostile to some in other situations, and that, like, it's just any excuse. It's like whenever you have a dude who's looking for a fight, and he's like, what the fuck did you just say? What are you looking at? And it's like, well, you just yelled at me, so I looked in your direction, and this is not about anything that ever happened to me. Don't worry about it. But
also, say goodbye to any sort of cheap gas prices in the future.
Oof. Yeah, gas prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
Up,
oh, up. That's one thing. Don't fuck with the country that gives you about 3.8 million barrels a day. So
is that really true?
America yeah, that's about 3. A million 8. Barrels a day more than 2015.
Public transportation.
They've upped it a lot since sanctions were eased up. Yeah. So that's thanks, y'all.
I don't know how our gas could get any higher.
Yeah.
So let's ride these bicycles.
We are all going to die. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Well, that's a bleak outlook, but yeah. This...
Maybe we should edit out everything and just,
nuclear
just go back to
war.
We are all going to die. All
right, Anna, what's
the
we're all going to die. All right. And so Melania Trump is can't stop copying Michelle.
Well, we do need to move on to Melania Trump because she is our greatest statesman working
stateswoman.
Right now. Stateswoman, sure.
States lady.
Is she a Slovenia person or a Slovakia person?
I just want to
use Don Blankenship nomenclature.
Right. So we all remember that she ripped Michelle off for the 2016 RNC speech.
So proudly and blatantly.
Yeah. Right. It was just like, this
the privilege.
Is bomb, motherfucker.
Oh, my
I am killing
At
it.
At least in high school, we knew to like change, you know, like rephrase it
a
in your
words.
Own.
Hell
you
yeah.
know, so you
yeah.
can't like Google copy and paste that like my professors did.
Man, luckily I was operating in a time before Google really, like I was using Alta Vista to find shit to plagiarize on the internet.
God.
So, I mean, not that we can really blame her. Michelle was the best first lady that has existed in the modern era. So, you know, she did it better than anyone else. Why wouldn't you want to steal from her? So Melania's big signature thing has been online bullying, which is fucking hilarious and the biggest irony of all, but we can just move on from that.
Well, you know what's funny? There's an article, I think it was Vanity Fair, I gotta find it, but there were reports, or like in the reporting of this article, they were saying that people at the White House were asking her maybe to pick a different topic.
Right.
And she was like, no, it's gonna be cyberbullying.
What if this is her passive aggressive way, though?
There is a lot of that's what she does. She's, you know, and that's why, like, a lot of people go, I feel bad. I don't feel bad for her.
I don't feel bad for her, but girl, give us a couple winks, you know, do it like.
Right. I'm like, I get it. Look, you're a parasite and you latched onto an old host. You thought the body would expire very soon. And it turns out, motherfucker is as invincible as Wolverine.
An actual cockroach that won't die.
Body's made of adamantium.
Here's the thing.
I think it's more like his body's made of whatever McDonald's hamburgers are made of, because those also don't
age.
That's true. It doesn't. Yeah.
So you just add something that's like for like.
It's not that I feel bad for her, but I do want to read her book so badly. I mean, in 10 years, I feel she's going to have to drop one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, let's be real, though. She will just plagiarize Michelle Obama.
Oh, God.
So, I think you can just
My husband,
that.
The first black president.
So she's like the first whack president.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So
with
this
her?
Is just
she
crazy.
She dropped this pamphlet.
She drops. So the whole thing is part of like her new program for, you know, children that she has called Be Best. Now, again, due to her history of biting Michelle's swag, I just want to present to you a very huge moment that came out of like 2016 when Michelle Obama was sat down with Oprah. So, you know, that was a moment. It was a movie. And Oprah was just basically asking, what can men do? This is a very big moment between Michelle Obama and Oprah that many people probably remember.
What can men do leaving here? Be better. Be better at everything.
So I think that was like at the International Women's Congress or it was a women's gathering where this panel took place, this interview took place. So, and that was like a big moment.
It was iconic.
Yeah. And then so her, they ask her for her program, it's called Be Best, which if I think about it, if you put in order of grammatically what's above better, it is best, but grammatically, Be Best doesn't quite track.
Yeah. If Michelle Obama, when Oprah had said, what's your recommendation for men, if she had said, Be Best, people would have been like, oh shit, is she having a stroke? What's happening right now? That's not
I think Melania would have to hers be called be bester.
Right.
Or
right.
some shit like that.
So her
do goodest.
Yeah.
Her campaign, the main sort of theme is be best.
Yeah, I mean, it's an odd thing. It's a repackaging of many like sort of outreach programs that already exist. So like, for example, like it's talking about cyberbullying to health to even like getting kids to like not abuse opioids. The kind of a weird third prong of this mm-hmm. program, which obviously I'm all for obviously educating kids because the opioid epidemic
is real.
I think
kids should try opioids. I think, no.
Yeah, no, for real. I mean, look, until you're nodding off on your Nintendo Switch, like right. you don't know what life is. You don't right. know the struggle. But no, that was a kind of bizarre thing. I wasn't aware of a childhood opioid epidemic, but I'm sure actually now in the era that we live in, access to opioids is much easier for children, so they could just buy, you know, and just in their home could be around it. So yeah, definitely let the children know drugs are bad. But the thing is, in this one handbook she passed out, specifically on cyberbullying, you know, her big cause, her big passion project, hers is called Talking with Kids About Being Online, where it has like a bunch of stuff on there about what to do.
Wait, can we just talk about that title?
Yeah, Talking with Kids. But the thing is, when you look back, the FTC put under Obama put out a
chatting.
A very similar pamphlet called Netcetera, chatting with kids
about being online.
Yeah, so wow. She kind of took your advice there. She changed one word and got mm-hmm. rid of the main title.
She got rid of the main title because there was a clever play on words, yeah. Netcetera, and she was like, "That doesn't mean anything to me."
She'll be like,
"Too clever."
No,
for
she's
me.
Like, "Et netera."
Right. No, but that's she. Presumably just deleted that because she didn't know it, like, wow. Aww.
Yeah, but then when you go inside, the shit is the exact same. They kind of
the design is identical.
They updated sort of the shape of a phone to look more like a new iPhone, but, like, the wording is the exact same. So, you know, like,
yo.
It's tough. You know what I mean?
So you just have to understand, if you're not looking at this, that the cover that has the same title, basically repurposed, has 24 icons on it, and on both of them, it is the identical same icons, same order. Like, they didn't change shit. They just basically
they did.
Took
if you
it.
Look at the cell phones, they're less thick around the rim. Like, they caught
accurate.
On. They
accurate.
Caught on to like rimless
got that iPhone
phones.
X. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they updated the iPhone, and we're like, okay, that's good. We're there.
Yeah, you can check the footnotes if you really want to see these images.
Yeah, you should. So I don't know. It's just another example of them just not thinking people are paying attention, I guess.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, look, plagiarism is chill, you know? And who better than the first lady to let kids know that?
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, at the same time, it's just like, this isn't the worst thing that
no, not
the
at
Trump
all.
Administration.
It's just funny because it's so devoid of any kind of original thought or even effort.
I think it's right. funny just because of how much they shit on the Obama administration to then right. be like, oh, but we actually like all of your plans.
Right.
We
but
actually
not
like
Melania.
A lot of
Melania certainly doesn't shit on them because she was laughing at Barack's jokes mm-hmm. at Barbara Bush's
he's
funeral.
He's charming. I mean, how yeah. could
she's
you not? He's charming.
Motherfucker, and she's
I would've
used
told,
to being
yeah.
around that. Mm-hmm. Fucking
yep.
the guy who like doesn't even wait for her when he gets out
that's
of a car.
That's the real Mr. President yeah. Right there.
So we also
that's a real let him know. You know he probably told Michelle, he's like, look, don't get mad. I'm gonna make Melania laugh. It's gonna be a good photo. It's gonna get Donald.
He probably
real
was
off.
Like, you know, we got a guest room. If you ever, you know,
yeah. He's like, hey, if it gets hot at the West Wing, or yeah, no. Granted, she doesn't go near the West Wing in that same article. They also mentioned it's like, yeah, we got a little condo. If you need to just duck out for a second.
Mm. All right, let's talk about the NRA convention because that happened within the last week, and
it was really cool,
super chill. So
I mean, look, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they basically appointed the greatest weapons smuggler and guy to cover up foreign collusion ever, Ollie North, to be the new president of the NRA. Now, if you don't know who Ollie North is, Oliver North, he was a part of the Reagan administration, and he was working on the NSC, the National Security Council, where he cooked up a really dope plan. He's like, look, we're going to sell weapons to Iran, but we're not supposed to. So we're going to do that shit on the sly. But also, the profits we make off of that, we're going to help fund the Contras in Nicaragua, who Congress said we can't fund because they do shit like smuggle cocaine and they're problematic, blah, blah, blah. So
It was like crime syndicate shit that they were doing.
100% illegal arms dealing.
Right.
And using the profits to fund another conflict in Latin America. Now, the reason the Contras were fighting the legitimate Sandinista government in Nicaragua, but because they were socialists.
Right. Yeah.
They were like, fuck no. That's basically a precursor to everybody in the U.S. Honoring and bowing down to the hammer and sickle of communism. They were just like, fuck that. Let's get the Contras to basically turn it up in there because they need to fight on behalf of capitalism. And he even tried to cover it all up. He had his secretary shredding documents and shit. And the whole thing was a gigantic fiasco.
Yeah.
So actually, for people, and also take also just want to do a little side shout out. Check out the Ethnically Ambiguous episode called We Are Over Trash Dictators to learn more about the Iran-Contra affair. But basically, this was a very big, significant moment because everybody was like, wait, what the fuck is going on? You guys are illegally selling like the whole scheme was blown up and it was a gigantic controversy. And Ollie North basically was the fall guy for the fuckery of the administration.
Right. He is the most iconic person you can come up with for like doing something illegal with weapons.
Yeah.
And the NRA was like, him.
Yeah. Hell
make
yeah.
him. It's like, they were like if Mark Furman became the head of the NAACP. It's
no,
like,
or him of like the policeman's
right,
union.
Right.
Or something.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does because if you think about it, the new tactic for the NRA is to now circle the wagons by just ramping up the culture war.
Right. Fuck libs.
Fuck liberals. Even if they own the gun, like own guns too. Like the only people we know who are really going to buy our insane narratives about not like holding guns responsible for the violence in this country is to just ramp up the culture war and to have Ollie North, who already historic, like for some older conservatives already look at him as a victim of cuckery.
Right.
The liberals are like, oh, what's going on over there?
Right.
And they're like, this guy was just being a fucking patriot, man.
Right.
Just doing what's right. Yeah, this is a perfect thing because, look, it melted down the internet. And the right takes joy in this. And they're like, yeah, exactly. This is the kind of guy we need because he gets it because this is a full-on us versus them situation.
Yeah. It is sort of sad. The entire agenda on the right seems to be trying to make the left mad, which is not, not a coherent strategy.
No.
In terms of how to run a country.
And it will have actual effects, IRL.
Trump at the NRA convention made the following argument.
I just make one more point?
Yes.
I just want to also bring up what's amazing about Ollie North is that he quite literally tried to create a deep state like organization in the government.
Oh,
that,
did he?
Oh, yes. When they really started talking about like his money scheme. Okay, so this is from an article like from the 80s in the LA Times, like right after all this shit came out. They were saying that he and the late director of the CIA, William Casey, had a plan to establish their own clandestine alternative to the CIA, what the Senate Investigating Committee Chairman Daniel Inouye, shout out to Hawaii, called, quote, a secret government within our government. As North described the plan, he and Casey would have used profits from the secret sale of U.S. arms to Iran to run a, quote, off-the-shelf, self-sustaining, standalone entity that could perform certain activities overseas. Unlike the CIA, the secret organization would not have to depend on Congress for its funds or notify lawmakers of its activities. Boom!
So
they called it Project Democracy also.
Oh,
so,
God.
It's so, I mean, the dude is also literally tried. He like had a really plan to figure out how to fund like a government within a government.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That shit happens, guys.
But hey,
that's happening now.
Right. But it only exists if they're, you know, at Comet Pizza, they're hiding kids in the basement or something.
Right.
That's your deep state. Not this guy who actually tried to funnel funds to create like a side project.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I don't. We're still talking about it.
Also, look up the business plot. If you find that hard to believe, look up the business plot, which is when a bunch of rich businessmen decided to try to overthrow the U.S. government of FDR because they were like, nah, he's not, like, we need to take this over.
And he's trying to share.
Yeah, become fascist because he's trying to share our wealth. And the only reason it got broken up was because they went to a former military guy and were like, hey, Snidely, I think his name was.
Wait, actually?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his name was something.
Not just an adjective.
Something crazy, evil sounding. Can you like help us overthrow the government? And he was like, yeah. And then like went and told the government.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me just talk to somebody really quick. It's Snidely. They're trying to over. He sounds like a Harry Potter character.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and I'm sorry, it was General Smedley Butler who the...
Smelly butthole? Uh-oh.
Who the heads
burned him.
Hey, you need to read Melania's online bullying.
Oh, my bad. I mean Smedley Butler, the honorable.
Yeah, and it was the heads of a number of, you know, well-known and still well-respected companies who were trying to overthrow the government and become like...
Well, look, everybody has to try and shoot their shot at one point.
Right. Smedley Butler. I bet he looks like Toby from The Office.
Right. Just like, God, fucking Smedley again, smeddling in our business.
All right, real quick, also from the NRA convention over the weekend, just a couple amazing images. This young child loading a bolt-action rifle as a woman sort of cheers.
Egged him on?
Yeah, like almost
encouraged him, cheerleading.
I mean, go faster, harder.
Yeah, for the record, he's not loading it, but he is actually demonstrating a full-on function of this bolt-action rifle in, like, military speed. I guess we'll play the clip. I don't know if it's going to really translate for people that are listening, but the sound you're hearing is a child
who is like four years old. Yeah, four.
Can barely like walk in a way that seems like he has control of his body. But my God, if his hands know his way around that rifle, let's hear this.
Hey, what's your name? Maverick? That is awesome. How old are you, Maverick? He is 4 years old. Show me what you do with the gun. Do it again.
Then take also hitting and pulling the trigger right after too.
Oh, can you put it back in?
Oh my God.
Jesus.
His little child laugh.
He's loving it.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, it's a toy to him and probably his parents as well.
So that's something.
I saw on
that's what
this
I meant.
Is the thing, and like the woman who posted this,
that's adorable.
The woman who posted this on Twitter, you know, she said, "This is incredible parenting done right." American flag, American flag, American flag emoji. And again, not that you can't, you know, like I said, I'm not fully against all weapons. I do think this kid just thinks like he's just doing a thing because it makes his dad really happy and makes him clap. The responsibility of these parents are to also kind of like let kids know. Guns are not like he stuff either at that age. It's be very careful.
It's so tone deaf from this side, from the amount of school shootings that we have had. It's just frightening and terrifying. And I saw people on Twitter that were like, so like, what if his dad takes him hunting? He can't teach him. Like, he's 4 years old and thinks that this is essentially a toy. And it's terrifying that I that she was encouraging
but
him.
That's what you're saying right now is exactly the point. They want you to say that. They put this video up. They want you.
They want the reaction of people to go,
right,
that little boy knows how to use a gun.
That's
this
terrible.
Is disgusting. Right. And then they retweet that and say, see, this is what we're up against. Because the narrative that only works for the NRA is liberals are trying to steal all of your fucking guns. So fuck them.
Maybe we're trying to take them away from your four-year-old.
Right. As we've talked about, like, the gun sales have gone in the tank since Trump was elected because everybody was arming themselves because they thought Obama was coming for their guns. And so in order to get gun sales back up, the NRA has to make it seem like liberals are coming for your guns and, you know, sort of weaponize this culture war.
Obama's coming from their guns, or they were just very afraid
racist.
That a black man was president and then
also.
That would embolden other people of color
like
to think they can do stuff in the
100
world.
100 guns now. I took everybody's guns.
You took all of them?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
Three with me right now.
Yeah, your earrings look amazing.
I know. Don't,
is that a lower receiver for AR?
And then I just want to talk about, so Trump spoke, obviously, and, you know, did a bunch of, you know, crazy calling out the left.
Straight jazz.
But one specific argument he made was amazing. He said, if we're going to outlaw guns like so many people want to do, Democrats, and everyone's like, fuck Democrats. He was like, we are going to have to outlaw immediately all vans and all trucks, which are now the new form of death for the maniac terrorists, which, okay, first of all, I would be fine with that. But second of all, if we just regulated guns as much as we regulate vans and trucks, that would be a huge step up in how much we regulate guns. Like if you had to like get the deed from somebody when you purchased a gun and it was like registered to the government, and you also had to get a license and like pass a test with an expert before you were able to use a gun.
Mine was at Sears, so
yeah, my expert,
driver's test.
My expert fell asleep during my driver's test.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I learned how to drive. Sears has a driving course.
They do?
I was like 16, learned how to drive.
Where is this
at? Sears, in Dallas, Texas.
Oh really?
Sears.
Damn, we didn't have shit like that growing up. I learned how to drive just stealing my
parents'
car when they weren't at home.
Let's outlaw vans and trucks and airplanes and movie theaters and churches. And,
Okay. Let's do that.
So we want to talk about This Is America one more time, just because I walked in this morning. Miles was still watching it when I left last night. Miles was sitting in the same spot watching it. I don't think Miles left. I think he's just been watching it over and over again. So you have analyzed this video like Bill Belichick.
I mean, not to the point of some people who have written some really amazing think pieces on this video. But yeah, like watching this video Sunday morning on the toilet hungover is much different than watching it 8 times in a row, 9 times in a row sober, just with the light of day on your skin. I mean, this video, it's just so dense, and the commentary on it is so compelling. I mean, like, there's so much that you really take for granted in this video, especially, like, even in the beginning, like, where people obviously have been drawing the Jim Crow imagery comparisons to when Donald, like, shoots the dude who's playing guitar in the very beginning. But even up to that point, like, his modulation from, like, this hyper-masculine, aggressive facial expression to, like, the sort of minstrel sort of contorted facial expressions to having the fun, like no pain black experience version where we are just dancing and everybody loves that version of the black experience. he's even doing that with his face prior to that moment. There's so much going on in this video that I don't even know if I can really talk about it without its own show. But there are a couple things that are really amazing because the way the video is just set up symbolically is great. Like, even with him just saying, like, this is America, don't catch you slipping now. Like, there are moments where you are distracted that you are slipping because you are missing what's even happening in the background. There are moments when the chaos kicks off. There's a dude who just straight up dies, like jumps off maybe he's thrown off, maybe he jumps off, comes off the railing and falls from above down on the ground. There's another moment where because of like the cool meme dance choreography, which is sort of meant to sort of talk about the parts of Black culture that from the outside people can kind of look at and be distracted by, go, oh, look, it's fun. Yeah, and like we can engage with this part of Black culture that is actually distracting from everything that is happening beneath the surface. And with that, there's a rider on a pale horse that goes by, like from the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse,
but
basically
on a pale
behold
horse,
a pale horse with follow. Yeah, and then Hades followed him. And if you watch at a certain point, the thing that is preceding it is a police car, which has become the bane of existence for many people of color, most and just many people in general when we talk about police brutality, but especially for people of color in this country. There's just so much going on, and like, you know, just from watching Donald deal with having to modulate between, am I shucking and jiving for this white audience? Am I being real to myself? Is this the version of Blackness that America can accept? They can take the version when everybody is smiling and dancing, but when we start talking about what's fucking real, then people are like, ooh, I don't know about that part. Right. And you can tell, like, just with the way the video is, you know, all this shit is happening around him. He can engage with it when he wants to, or he can be completely removed from it. And it's just such a great commentary, just this deep bit of inward reflection, introspection that I'm just so grateful for this video. That's why I was watching it so much, because I'm like, man, this guy is communicating so much, even within 4 seconds, than most people can do in a fucking 4-minute track. And that's just with like just a little bit of imagery. So yeah, please watch it over and over again. Really look at it and really understand what, you know, this song is really saying about the state of America and even just the state of the Black experience. And like, you know, a lot of people want to bring up Kanye and things, and I don't like that because I don't think they shouldn't be compared because they're not doing the same thing. Yes, they are comparable in that they are creatives, but what they are doing with their art is completely different. What this video is really underlining is, you know, a lot of the performative aspects of even Black culture, like, it carries a weight of everything that has preceded it, of all of the trauma that comes with it. And that's what makes the idea of these kind of achievements even more powerful, because you juxtapose that with, you know, the historical context of the Black experience in this country and the pain that's actually there. But we can hide it, and we can just be like, nah, we can be funny, and we can just be the cool Black guy or whatever.
Right.
And it deeply underlines too, just like with when people want to bring up Kanye, you know, T.I. said that when he met with him, Kanye had not even heard of the travel ban and was so removed from the day-to-day experience that, to me, that completely negates, or there's no way that this is performance art. This is pure ignorance, and it's like a selective engagement with history that has led this person to this point. But that's why I feel like this video is so powerful, because, God, I mean, it's like a thing that I saw at first, and I took, damn, that video was hype. Like, there was a lot going on. I could feel there was commentary, and then I look at it more and more, and you begin to think, what parts, even for me as a person of color, the expectation of me as a Black man, even like in high school, of like, oh, I should act this way because this is the version of Blackness that people accept or people expect. Mm-hmm. And am I giving people that, or am I not giving people that? And like, there's this sort of just very deep subconscious effect of how this all works, and the effect on even other people who engage with Black culture selectively, or, you know, appropriate or whatever. But this is all part of the equation in this country. And yeah, the video has so much more going on than I even led people to believe yesterday. And I was like, yeah, it was dope. Cut to me like just fucking like sobbing, being like, God damn, like this is so good. And I'm so grateful that we have people that are taking the time to make shit like this.
I feel like it's such a commentary, especially on Black entertainers as well, and athletes, and everything that we've seen this year with social media and people having access to them to be like, just shut up and
shut
play
up and
ball.
Dance. Shut up and
shut
play
up
the
and
songs.
Dance. Yeah, and dribble, I remember, I don't know who said it, but when all that stuff was happening at ESPN, somebody was, and it stuck with me like all year, that it was, they were like, ESPN wants brown faces, not brown minds.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is America, that they just want to absorb and be entertained by Black artists and want them to forget about all their struggles that they've, especially some, like whenever someone like Donald Glover's like, oh, you're rich now, you're rich. And it's like, yeah, you want him to forget about all the years that he struggled and continue to struggle. So yeah, I'm gonna watch it. How many times have you watched it?
I don't know, maybe 12 at this point.
Okay, I'm gonna beat you.
I mean, also,
I feel like I'm at 5.
I was also doing a version where it
to
took
15.
Me. It took me like 30 minutes to watch the clip once because I would just watch 4 second chunks and try and take everything in, and then keep going from there and there. Yeah, and it's true. It's just the same thing where, you know, the second you are actually making it real, you are bringing the black experience to
they don't
light
wanna, yeah.
for people. No one wants
they
to
don't
want to
be reminded
that.
Of that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They just want you to dance.
Yeah, and this video again, it just it shows you like, yeah, when he's doing all the cool dance moves, hitting the folks, and all the other like, you know, big meme dances, people love that. People love that. But then look at everything else that's going on. Yeah, great video, great piece of art.
Danny, it has been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ. I'm also a host here at How Stuff Works, Nerdificent. We have new episodes coming out every Tuesday, so come take a nerdy deep dive with us. And crap, I wanted to get one more 90. It's like going through the Matrix.
Oh, hell yeah. red pill these people.
We dropped off on our 90s references.
Yeah. I know.
We'll have to build that into the show.
Yeah, for sure. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at @MilesOfGray.
You can find me at @Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information in the episode that we talked about today. Miles, we also link off to the song that we ride out on. What is that going to be today?
I would like to draw people's attention back to an early attempt at woke rap, a track by Missy Elliott and Jay-Z called Wake Up, from her This Is Not a Test album. This was more talking about going against the materialism of hip-hop, but I remember back in the day, I was like, yeah, man, this is kind of like I'm waking
Such
up.
Such a good album.
Man, we was only scratching the surface. So, yeah, this is Wake Up featuring Jay-Z and Missy Elliott.
Missy Misdemeanor.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you then. Bye.
Music up. Motherfuckers better wake up. Stop selling crack to the black. Hope you brought a spare for your flat. Can't accept me talking real facts. Down the hill like Jill and Jack. I speak what your weak mind lacks. You heard that? I'm creative to the fullest. What you talking about, Willis? Cause you talking never kill it. I hear but don't feel it. Thou ain't realest. You're just sweet meat in the village. Yeah, I'm a Don Diva, Don Neva. Y'all not seen her. He to squeeze into a wife beater. Yep, I'm a top leader. I got the Martin Luther King fever. I'ma feed you what your teacher need to preach. It's time to get serious. Black people all areas. Who gon' carry us? It ain't time to bury us. Cause music be our first love. Say I do, let's cherish it. If you don't got a gun,
it's alright.
If you're making legal money,
it's alright.
If you gotta keep your clothes on,
it's alright.
You ain't gotta sell your little phone,
it's alright.
And your wheels don't spin,
it's alright.
And you gotta wear them jeans again,
it's alright.
Yeah, if you try it, oh well,
it's alright.
MC, stop the beef, let's sell,
it's alright.
Hip-hop better wake up, the bed to make up. Some of y'all be faker than the dragon makeup. Got issues to take up before we break up. Like Electra, let go, Miss Anita Baker. I love Jacob, but jewelry won't fix my place up. Gotta stay up, studio nice to cake up. Now check my flavor, rich folks is now my neighbors. I got cable, and check out how I made my paper. Hip-hop don't stop, be my lifesaver. Like Kobe and Shaq if they left Lakers. And like an elevator DJ on the crossfader. Black people wake up, I'll see your ass later. If you don't got a gun,
it's alright.
If you're making legal money,
it's alright.
If you gotta keep your clothes on,
it's alright.
You ain't gotta sell your little phone,
it's alright.
And your wheels don't spin,
it's alright.
And you gotta wear them jeans again,
it's alright.
Yeah, if you try it, oh well,
it's alright.
MC, stop the beef, let's sell,
it's alright.
I need rims that don't listen in the booming system. First piece of change I see, I'm gon' get more. 745, no license to drive. I ain't even got a home, I guess I live in my ride. Fuck it.
Rewind.
I can hear myself, but I can't feel myself. I wanna feel myself like Tweet. 745, no license to drive. I ain't even got a home, I guess I live in my ride. Fuck it. Couple carrots in the ear won't hurt. Need a nice chain laying on this $1,000 shirt. If Vizu jeans cover the rectum. I kick game just like David Beckham. Anybody in my way, I wet them. I'ma be this way till the cops come catch him. To detective sketch him on the sidewalk with chalk, New York's infections. Till I got taught a lesson. Couple niggas gone, couple went correction. Himmery got 10, Ty got 15, nigga, even my kin. Got 5 years, bringing 19 in. I just think I used to think like them. Now they gotta live through the pictures that I send them in the pen. Hope you don't start your life where I end. Wake up!
Come on! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Got a gun,
it's alright.
If you're making legal money,
it's alright.
If you gotta keep your clothes on,
it's alright.
You ain't gotta sell your little phone,
it's alright.
And your wheels don't spin,
it's alright.
And you gotta wear them jeans again,
it's alright.
Yeah, if you try it, oh well,
it's alright.
MC, stop the beef, let's sell,
it's alright.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.